With me in the studio, Craig and Jacqueline, thank you for from Liquid Chefs. Thank you for taking the time to join us for our distillery. So just because in the interest of full disclosure, you have to know that normally we or very often we rather have we have had whiskey tasting, and in fact Hilton, who's produced the show, suggested Liquid Chefs, and we thought now that is a very, very fine idea.
Thank you, Hilton.
So, yeah. All right. So tell us about Liquid Chefs.
So Liquid Chefs was a business started 14 years ago. I think a lot has happened in 14 years. Mm-hmm. We've seen cocktail revolution take place in this country. And for the most part, we would hope that we had been leading it. Our focus has always been on serving our customers and looking at the best possible ways to do that. We focus a lot on innovations. So I think what's happened over the last 14 years is cocktails have really expanded in the country. I don't necessarily feel that we are at the level of an international standard, but certainly we are catching up.
In terms of food, I know in the food industry, fusion foods and combining all sorts of very, very strange things together is all the rage. Are you seeing that in the cocktail industry
Absolutely.
As well?
I think culinary has been a huge, huge factor in terms of how the beverage industry has grown. Mm-hmm. The cocktails that we're making as well, there's a lot of this molecular cocktail making that's come into the equation. And I think that it has a huge effect on the beverage industry. But for the most part, the cocktails that we're focusing on are fresh fruit-based, being in South Africa.
I'm drinking something here that is I don't know what it is, but I need more of it.
That is a pineapple and ginger infusion. It's made with fresh pineapples, fresh ginger. It's muddled with a little bit of sugar syrup. It's got a nice, large splash of vodka in it, plus some fresh pineapple juice. And what we've done there is we've created...
It's genuinely the nicest thing I've ever tasted.
Good to hear. And it's garnished with a vanilla foam, that what you heard in studio, that noise that you were hearing, was a blowtorch that we heat up the foam to create like a marshmallow kind of texture, and it's garnished with aniseed and cinnamon.
Absolutely amazing.
Terrifying. So I've been seeing on Facebook and Instagram recently, people have been making cocktails inside a glass dome and smoking them.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
So it's a very interesting concept. I think there's a way to flavor the cocktails through the smoke, and there's different ways of doing that, and there's different flavors of smoke. And I think what's happening is a lot of the bars and restaurants on a global level are starting to lean towards the more classic cocktails. So that's less of your fresh fruits, less of your fresh juices, and more of your spirits. And then what they're trying to do is they're trying to focus on those spirits and then add flavor to them. So smoke-infused flavor is a very interesting way and a very, very high-level way of where the industry is at the moment in terms of creating delicious cocktails on a completely different level.
But isn't that only good for the beginning of an evening? By the end of it, no one cares if it's smoke-infused or not.
I suppose. I mean, it depends on how much you drink, right?
Right, exactly. So,
and it depends on how we go here, if we're going to carry on making a few cocktails. But I guess at the end of the day, people generally start off with cocktails, and then they generally tend towards moving to your spirits
and the tequilas,
depending on which kind of event you're at.
If you go out to a cocktail bar, where would you go to?
In South Africa?
Yeah.
Interesting question, Howie. I suppose I'd prefer to choose Cape Town because I think Cape Town's ahead of Joburg. And the likes of Asuka and Orphanage and those places are really doing great. There are places here which I'd say one or two are really good for the likes of Landmark and so on. But I really think that in the next couple of years, you'll start seeing that really expand.
Have you been to the secret cocktail bar behind Bolton Road Collection?
I have not.
How big a secret is this?
I've heard about it.
You need a secret code to get through the door.
And it's not like 18.
It's not
XYZ.
When I last went, it was, I'm wearing my school blazer.
Oh, and rubbish. Really?
You went there and said, could I come in? And they say, sorry, we're full. And then I said, but what happens if I'm wearing my school blazer? And the response was, hold on, sir, we'll go find you a table.
Wow.
And you get the secret code from the barber shop round the corner, which is also a bar.
Oh, my word. Brilliant. Oh, my word. You see, the minute you say it's secret, I've got to go there. I've got to find out about it. Now, if you're doing a function, I mean, and you do, just give us a sense of the type of things so our listeners can get a sense of what you do.
We all scale. So we do events from 20 people to 20,000 people.
Right. Large festivals. Even a small event. I mean, you're having a dinner party, 20 people.
We have a range of various different services that we can offer. We have pre-made cocktails, which we can deliver to people's doors.
Oh, that's
freshly produced cocktails. We deliver the glassware. We deliver the cocktails in 4-liter jars. Great for entertaining and welcoming your guests with a welcoming cocktail. We then obviously have our various different bar services, which also expands into coffee. There's cocktails. There's full bars, which is a combination of standard bars and cocktail. And then, of course, our signature service is cocktails. So, you know, for us, we focus on any event where there is a requirement for a bar service.
Now, I know that we've had you at a function at my home, but I don't remember how it worked in terms of kosher, Beth Din. How does it work?
So we, for particular kosher functions, we get a, we're under the Beth Din, obviously.
Right.
So what would happen is we'd bring in a mashgiach to supervise the whole
process. Oh, I see. So it would be done. It would be done as though you're a normal caterer.
Exactly. Exactly. So we bring them in, they check the fruit, they check the juice, they check the products, they're on site with us throughout the function.
Right.
And then obviously we get our certificate through the Beth Din as a result.
But you work obviously in all communities, in corporate, in private.
I'd say 95% of our business is corporate, only 5% of it is private. A lot of our work is given to us through the liquor brands themselves. That's a huge area of our business in terms of activating products for them and activating events for them. So, and then, of course, we're doing, you know, a very small portion of our market is actually weddings and bar mitzvahs. Yeah, that's where we're at the moment.
So here's what I need to know, because I love this type of information. How different is the ordering or style of drinks across the different demographics in South Africa, gender, etc.?
It's a very interesting question.
It's a great question.
And we see it all the time. You know, from an Afrikaans community drinking completely different to the Jewish community, where Afrikaans is predominantly brandy focused, beer focused. You know, in terms of Jewish community, a lot of tequila, a lot of whiskey, very little beer, surprisingly, at events. And sure, everyone drinks cocktails because everyone enjoys cocktails.
Very little beer at Jewish functions, even craft beer?
I think craft beer is a big thing coming up at the moment and has been a big thing for the last 5 years. It's completely exploded at the moment. For daytime events, absolutely. For nighttime events, people have different things that they want to drink. So, yes, it is something that is big.
So tell me, gin has suddenly exploded.
Exploded, totally.
I
actually don't know how to explain it because it's quite an interesting thing. But I think that gin has exploded because it's trendy, it's cool. And what's happened is that a lot of the gin manufacturers or producers have gone into craft. So craft itself is what is cool and trendy and popular at the moment. So gin has gone to a craft kind of section of the market where, you know, you've got these boutique-y distilleries that are producing
an Inverosh, Fox Street.
And even smaller than Inverosh and Fox Street
now. I'm sorry to leave you here. Like, you've got this other language. I don't even know what you're saying. I feel like I need a translator.
So it's and I think that it's an appreciation for quality. And that's what's taken place at the moment. And inside gin, inside gin are so many botanicals and so many different flavors that it's almost as popular as whiskey because it's not a tasteless spirit.
I had no idea.
It's interesting.
What about the whiskies? I mean, is there a demand for various single malts at your functions?
Absolutely. I think people are very specific about which whiskies they like, and they have palates in terms of what suits their palate and what they enjoy. So, and it's by preference.
Do you have to push South Africans in general to try different things? Or do people know what they want, feel safe with what they want?
I don't know, Jax. Maybe you can help on this.
I think generally people know what they want. Usually if somebody's willing to take a risk and taste something, they become totally open to trying new things after that. But initially, I think it's always like a bit of a push. People,
I'm thinking of myself. I would walk up to a bar, and the first thing I would do is ask, because I'm a whiskey drinker, I would ask for a whiskey. You know, this I'm trying this now because it's part of a show. But the truth is, I've absolutely loved it, and we'll come back to what I've tasted in a moment. But there had to be a reason for me to do it, and I guess Maybe people are like
people
me.
They tend to be creatures of habit. Mm. But I think at our functions, it's quite easy because, you know, the consumer who's ordering a drink is not necessarily paying for it, so they're more inclined to try.
Yes, that's true.
Which I think makes it a lot easier for us. South Africans in general, I find through our functions, have been completely open to trying new ideas and new things. And I think the events industry itself has been pushing the boundaries to try to get new, innovative environments.
And I guess that if somebody is going through the effort of having Liquid Chefs at a function or at a corporate event, they don't want them to just be a regular bar service. Otherwise, Absolutely. The place, the venue might well have one. So,
Absolutely.
So they're expecting something a little bit different.
Absolutely.
I can tell you that when I've gone up and I've been to many, many Liquid Chef functions, I've always gone up to the barman and say, make me something special. Mm. I don't care what it is. Mm. Just I want to try something different than you. And that's the uniqueness of Liquid Chefs.
But that's your personality. I think a lot of people, I think it takes a while to try. But I've noticed it at your functions is you'll often have something set up that it's actually easy. It's not too intimidating. I don't need to order something. I can just pick it up, drink it, and then once I've started that process, then I'm happy to try it.
Can I tell you my favorite Liquid Chef's function? Mm-hmm. Great Park Shul Shabbos Project Dinner on the roads of Oakland.
Oh, how wonderful.
This massive circular bar in the middle of the road.
So we had that circular bar at a function at our house.
Magical.
It was absolutely superb. I thought people would never leave.
But yes, to have it in the middle of the street.
That's incredible.
And the entire community around busy trying out new cocktails. Oh, it was such a magical experience.
Incredible. Well, I have noticed that as well. It is something that creates a central theme and a way for people to congregate and chat and have you tried this and no, you got to try that. It actually really does add to a function.
So it's not only just a service. I think there's an entertainment component
to
it, and it creates a social aspect where people feel like there's actually something to do, and it just lifts the mood of an environment. You know, we focus heavily on training our staff and how we train them, you know, which is a huge component to what we do. And the guys are trained to when somebody comes up to the bar and says, what can I have? It's, well, what do you enjoy? What's your favorite spirit? And they'll construct something for
you.
And
there's a bit of theatre in it as well.
Totally.
You know,
although we're finding things to be quite interesting at the moment, I think with the economic climate the way it is, we've launched a new innovation, which is cocktails in kegs, which is literally cocktails on tap like beer. So, you know, for any function that you're at and you want quick service, speed, efficiency, consistency, which we're also doing in an on-con environment in restaurants and bars and so forth, which is a business that we've launched, which is called Kegtails. So we're always trying to push the limits and try to see, you know, smart, innovative, and affordable ways to look at innovation.
It's absolutely wonderful. Just tell me the second drink now. Just to describe it to our listeners, it's got two straws. It's got mint. It's got dried orange. Lots of ice. It's quite tart.
Yes.
Which, if you like that sort of thing, which I happen to do, I like something that's a little bit sourish.
You like a tart.
You know what? Is there? Never mind. All right. You know what?
Let me tell you what goes in.
Tell me what's going on. Save me from him.
There's fresh mint leaves inside there with pomegranate syrup.
Oh, so it's healthy.
It's very healthy.
It's all fruit.
It's pomegranate.
I get vitality points by drinking this drink.
Vitality points, absolutely.
Yeah, give me another one.
So there's fresh mint, there's runny honey, there's a little bit of pomegranate syrup, a large splash of Jack Daniels, as well as cloudy apple juice and a bit of grapefruit juice. And that brings in the tartiness and the full flavor.
Beautiful, because it's not too sweet at all.
Mine's got cloudy matzoneng inside.
Cloudy, yes. Yeah, well, let's not talk about that. How do we, if somebody listening wants to get hold of Liquid Chef, they want to look at any of your services, how do they do that?
All our cocktails are on our website, and we show exactly the ingredients and how it's made, and that can be reached on www.liquidchefsmobile.co.za.
Uh-huh.
Or you could contact us on our landline at our offices on 011-887-4535.
All right, we're going to ask you to hang around a little bit more. We'll talk to you just after on the other side of the news, especially because they've now come in with a third cocktail, and seems very, very rude for us not to taste it. They've gone through all that effort, which just seems like an inappropriate thing to do. It's 6 minutes past five. I'm going to wrap up with the guys from Liquid Chefs. We have one more most magnificent I tell you, they are works of art, aren't they?
They are indeed.
I think, you know, it's not about just drinking them.
That's why they call it the art of mixology. Mm. I think there's a lot of detail that goes into it. There's
a
lot of balancing of flavors. So that's a traditional mojito with a bit of a twist on it.
I was going to say, it's not quite traditional.
It's not quite traditional. That has got fresh mint leaves, a little bit of fresh lime.
And it tastes so healthy.
White rum.
That's what I like about their cocktails, Howard. Is they taste so healthy.
I am leaving the studio much more healthy than when I arrived.
Absolutely right. How many points do we get on Discovery for each one of these?
I think you might get negative.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going straight to gym. That's inspired.
You don't need to go to gym, Howard. You can just swipe your car. All our listeners do that.
I said I'm going to the gym, not going to gym.
All right. Very, very good. Now, this is absolutely wonderful. Fantastic. What is your most popular cocktail by far?
I would say the most popularly requested cocktail is mojitos and caipirinhas.
I was just going to say
Yeah.
I'm so glad you've shaken it up a little bit. I don't know if you're allowed to use that expression in cocktails. But because otherwise, I would think South Africans are a bit boring. We do go for mojitos, don't we?
Yeah, but I think it's also weather-dependent and you know what people are choosing. But on a hot summer South African day, this is a fantastic cocktail.
Yes, and what do you do in winter? Glühwein? No.
So we do a couple of hot cocktails, Glühwein. Yeah. But I think it's more brandy-based cocktails, more whiskey-based cocktails, you know, red wine-based cocktails, which is also huge.
Yeah, I was thinking while Howard was talking about the secret place, I went to one of those also behind an inconspicuous door in London type of a place where you had to go with a member of the club, and there were a lot of these, because it's often so cold, these whiskey-based drinks, which were really beautiful.
Yes.
And as a purist on a whiskey, I wasn't sure I could go there, but I absolutely loved it.
So that's what I was mentioning earlier, where a lot of London and America and New York in particular focus a lot on the classic cocktails. Mm. So they're very heavy on whiskey-based cocktails, gin-based cocktails, vodka-based cocktails, where the gin and the vodka and the whiskey are the heroes. Where here you can see it's a lot more fruit-based cocktails, which is generally what South Africans love.
So let's say it's Friday night.
Yes.
I come back from shul.
Yes.
I'm going to make kiddish over a cocktail. So it has to be.
You need to get
it must be.
I'm not sure you can.
All right, let's say the kiddish wine-based cocktail.
Let's maybe move away from the halakha. And you know, during your meal, you want to drink a lovely cocktail.
I'm hoping we could make a cocktail with kiddish wine.
So. Yes,
what do you think we should do?
The Manischewitz mix.
So
it's been in a container for 6 months and it's fresh now.
That's an interesting one. I've never actually thought of how to make a cocktail with kiddish wine.
No.
Very sweet.
This Friday. All over Chai FM land, people will be making kiddish wine cocktails.
Oh, please. I feel like we've got a certain standard to maintain here. You know, we're trying to get them away from the Manischewitzes.
But you could reinvent Manischewitz.
If you had to, right? So let's go on the basis that you were making it over kiddish. And during your meal, you wanted to take some kosher, sweet, sweet kiddish wine and make a delicious cocktail. Jax, I don't know. What would we do? I think let's think about this. So I would consider what would go really well with that. I think a brandy and a kiddish wine would go nicely together.
Yeah.
And I would look at different spices, maybe a little bit of aniseed, maybe a little bit of...
We'll have the last spices.
Yeah, bring it all in.
Take them out, cinnamon, bring it all in. Cloves.
Basically, Shabbos finishes in 20 minutes. Yeah.
And then I would put in a little bit of red grape juice and just lengthen it up, and you'd have actually something that's quite delicious.
These guys are talented. It's incredible how the brain works. That's absolutely fantastic. We are going to have to leave it there. We are running very, very late. We have to move to the Israel Report. It is 5:10. I've been speaking to the guys from Liquid Chefs. Thank you for taking the time
to come in and
the effort and the magnificence of these drinks is absolutely wonderful. I'm going to post pictures to the Facebook page. Go and have a look at them.